Hey everybody, Rob Cairns here. I'm the CEO, founder, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. I hope everybody's having a great day. In today's podcast, I sit down with my good friend Ross Brand. Ross is a live stream expert, and he's my go-to guy when I have live streaming questions. I've been doing live streaming for a while. So please do me a favor, grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation that Ross and I had. Hey everybody, Rob Cairns here. I'm here with my good friend, Ross Brand. Ross is a live streaming expert. So how are you today, Ross?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Robert.
It's a pleasure. I thought we'd do a little bit of live streaming. You and I were talking off air. I can remember when I first started live streaming, I was doing BMX events and I'd sit on top of a 10-foot ramp with a webcam. And I'd record off the top of a webcam with a laptop in my hand and a cell connection. And things have come a long way. So how did you get into live streaming? What's your background and how have you progressed?
I worked 12 years on air and radio. And then I went on to do other things, left broadcasting. I enjoyed the time that I had there. I had some great experiences, had a few not so great experiences, but overall, I had a nice run for 12 years. I was hosting shows. I was doing reporting. I was covering pro and college sports. And just, it was a wild experience. And then I went into doing other things, and 2015 came along, and I stumbled into a platform called Blab. I thought I was going into some sort of text chat thing because somebody had posted that we're doing a Twitter chat and then we're going to talk about it in Blab. And I thought talk about it meant some sort of enhanced Twitter chat type format. Yeah. And I woke up in talk radio heaven, and there's all these people hosting talk shows there. It's basically talk radio with webcams. And long story short, I fell in love with broadcasting again, and I was initially just going to cover what people were doing and share what they were doing on my social media as a way to sort of promote what people were doing. I thought people were really good. I thought it was interesting seeing all these shows instead of around news and sports and entertainment. There are all these shows around business and marketing and human resources and, you know, finance and all these different areas of business. I thought it was very exciting, and a lot of small business owners and coaches and consultants building their personal brand. And I felt like, okay, maybe there's an opportunity to sort of be the media about live streaming, sort of like Social Media Examiner is for all things social media. But within a month or so, I started hosting a show. And once I started hosting a show, then that everything changed to the focus being on show hosting and content creation, not being a member of the media, so to speak. So that's where it went. I really fell in love with the hosting shows and the whole thing, except, you know, instead of being working for a radio station, I'm working for myself. I'm making my own schedule. In the beginning, building it with the idea, let's do this right. I just had this feeling like maybe this will become a business. Maybe this will become something, whatever it is, right? So it went through a few iterations. It started out as like a media company covering live streaming. Then it became almost like a network in which my website had nothing but all these different shows on it. And eventually it morphed into being what it is now, which is a mixture of content, but also consulting, coaching, classes, and production, as well as, business consulting. So I really love it. I couldn't be happier. I'm having more fun. I'm more engaged in it now than I would have been 20 years ago. So I'm very grateful to have this sort of second run at doing something that I love, but to be able to do it from home and in a way that I control my schedule and decide on what I want to work on and who I want to work with and what time I want to work. So I'm, you know, not on the night shift or the weekend. I don't have to work on Thanksgiving every year covering a Thanksgiving football game. You know, not that these were terrible things, but it's just, you know, this is my personality. I'm more of like an entrepreneur who's a creative than I am somebody who is a strictly a creative who can give over control to the company or to, you know, somebody else's format. So I love having, you know, the type of creative control and also from the business side of putting together something that combines my different interests that I really love. And I just feel so grateful to have this opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great one. And I think the big thing about live streaming and even podcasting and even working in broadcasting is the people you meet. I mean, the people that I've met doing podcasting or I've met in the online journey, it's incredible. And, you know, some of these people, if you weren't live streaming, you would have never met. And that's pretty incredible.
I think my entire network changed. I mean, not that I lost the old network that I had, but in reality, people who are doing live streaming and podcasting and tend to be very active on social media. People who tend to be active on social media are very open to engaging on social media. And so I really, when I look at who I'm spending time online with on a daily basis, and online's really the only way most of us are interacting with other people right now outside of maybe an immediate family member, I'm finding that, you know, it's people who I've met either through live streaming, through podcasting, or because of those things, they came into my world because I was active in social communities and so forth to be a part of live streaming and podcasting and events and so forth. So yeah, everything changed when I stumbled into Blab that day. I always feel like from that day on, I have an entirely new community of people that I'm in contact with on a daily basis. Some of them go back to then, but to that first few days, but many of them came along the way. But had I not stumbled into Blab that day, I don't know, you know, probably would have come across live streaming at some point, but there was something about that that was a huge change in terms of my network.
Yeah, no question about that. And it's funny, we talk about Blab and then we've all done like the Hangouts on Air routine. We remember when Hangouts on Air, and I was sharing with you off camera and off air how I did BMX events sitting on a 10-foot.
Right.
And I have really cool footage I was looking at before we got on this call. A guy by the name of Drew Bazanson. He's like Canada's number one BMX rider at an event in Toronto where he went 10 feet up, grabbed a overhang, pulled his bike up, and came down from 15 feet. And that was shot with a web camera back in the days of Hangouts on Air on top of a 10-foot. And then we've kind of moved to things like OBS, VMAX, and of course, you're big involved in StreamYard. And what do you think of the platform changes? And talk about StreamYard a little bit.
Yeah, so Blab was fun, and at times the content was good, and at times the content, there were ebbs and flows, and there was certainly a wide variety from really good stuff to really bad, inappropriate stuff on Blab. But the problem with Blab, although it was really well engineered for building a social community, it wasn't really well engineered for live streaming. And technically, it was not stable, it wasn't reliable. And at some point, the people running it basically stopped committing. You know, they broke their commitment to the product and the community that was building around it, and it kind of fell apart. And then other apps came along that were web browser-based apps that started to add some of the functionality of the more professional, complex apps. So you have like OBS and you have Wirecast, which have a huge learning curve and require time to set up and time to produce and a lot of variables when it came to bringing on a guest and getting that audio right and getting their video grabbed from a Skype or a Zoom and then pulling it in to OBS or Wirecast. There was just a lot involved and it was complicated. So your choice was either to really become an expert in those platforms and spend a lot of pre-show time getting everything set up, or it was to take a chance on one of the other web browser-based live streaming platforms or apps that popped up, which despite their virtues, none of were able to get the stability down.
Yeah.
StreamYard came along and was stable from day one. If they did nothing else, they immediately interjected stability that had never been seen before in a consumer-focused, browser-based live streaming app. The quality of the audio and video in 720p coming from a variety of different sources, whether it was coming from a DSLR mirrorless camera, a mini camcorder, a consumer webcam, or coming from the built-in camera in your laptop, it always was there, it was stable, it looked good. They built it to work with people from different quality of bandwidth. If you met the minimum, they would make it work. And they made the audio work. There wasn't that, where somebody would be coming in and coming out. You know, they'd have to reset their browser. You'd miss work. None of that. It was completely stable. It looked good. And it was professional looking. I mean, it was good enough that you could, look at, you see celebrities in the U.S., you see journalists, you see all different types of people, businesses using StreamYard. Some you can hardly even tell they're using StreamYard. And so that was the other aspect, is they started integrating all these different tools that allowed you to brand your broadcast your own way. OBS and Wirecast give you complete and 100% control. Anything, pretty much, if you can dream it, you can find a way to do it there, and you can make your broadcast look like nobody else's broadcast. With web-based tools for live streaming, you have some limits. And StreamYard, you have limits on where the windows go and some of the layouts and things like that. But through using backgrounds, through using overlays, whether transparent overlays or borders or different types of aspects, adding logos, playing video clips, and now with green screen especially, you can make your broadcast look very unique. And even if it's got a few of those little elements that say, like, oh, this is a StreamYard broadcast or whatever, I mean, it looks so unique that it doesn't really matter. And I've watched shows where I couldn't tell right away, is this a StreamYard show or not? And I've certainly looked at more than enough that if there's a hint it is, I'll pick it up in a minute or two. But the fact that I can't always tell means that you can do some really creative things with it. But what do we really want to do, right? When we're doing a live stream to social media, we're recording a podcast, we're doing something that we're distributing for business, for marketing, for consulting, we're showcasing our products and services. We want the video to be stable. We want to be able to have the conversation with another person and both video and audio stable and working. And StreamYard's done that out of the box, and they've done it consistently, and that's why, I'm just super proud to be affiliated with StreamYard and hosting shows for them, because it's just great to be able to be with a product that works well and that people really love using, because it makes it so easy. And especially when it comes to getting your guest on, you just send them a link, they click the link, and there they are. I'm sorry, it's kind of a long answer, but I'm passionate about what makes StreamYard different, having gone through these other iterations. And one more thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You mentioned Google Hangouts on Air, and Google Hangouts on Air certainly had stability. It was a stable platform that worked. It was reliable. The quality was good. But they had Google behind it, number one. And number two, It was dated. It was inflexible. It wasn't really, even though they had hangouts on air and you could broadcast and stream to social media, it really didn't feel like a broadcast platform. It felt like a meeting or webinar platform.
Yep.
And, you know, it just didn't really have the right designs for a show.
Yeah. So true. And we talk about StreamYard and easy use. It's funny, Ross, I think I tagged you like months ago. I was sitting in the Toronto Police media room, and one of my good friends, now retired, was the Toronto Police social media officer. And Scott Mills and I, a shout out to Scott, have done a lot of live streaming together. And I said, Scott, I need to show you something. And he said, oh, what do you need to show me? You always have something in your toolbox. This product called StreamYard. And I need to tell you about my friend Ross, because frankly, this is revolutionary what the guys up there are doing and what's happening. And I jumped on the media room, and at the time I didn't have my external web camera. I just had a laptop in the bag. And I did a quick live stream for about 5 minutes on StreamYard to Facebook Live from the Toronto Police media room. And the big thing is, there's no stream keys required. It connects. We all know the frustration of going right. OBS and trying to find your stream key and trying to teach a novice who doesn't understand that how to find stuff. And that's just like,
right. The average person wants to go to Facebook or wants to go to YouTube or Twitch or Periscope, Twitter, maybe LinkedIn Live. And they want to just click a button and select it as a destination. And, you know, one time you authorize your account with your name and password, and that's for authorizing the destination. As far as StreamYard goes, they don't even keep a password on file. You just enter your email, they send you a code, you punch that one-time code in, and then you're basically logged in until you log out and make a conscious choice to log out.
Yeah, which is actually better for security as far as I'm concerned, but the whole team and those looking at StreamYard, you got to check out the group on Facebook, because George and his team and Ross is in that group and multiple other people. There's some really cool stuff going on, and there's really great conversations that go on around StreamYard.
And they're a Canadian company, by the way. They're located in Vancouver. I believe Gage and Dan, the two co-founders, met playing hockey, or there's a picture of them playing hockey together that's up on the website. So, yeah. I mean, they're very much focused in the Vancouver area, I believe, but they're located in, I don't know exactly where they're located, but they're in Canada. I know that, and they're a Canadian company, and they're really a wonderful startup. Somebody you just feel good to be a part of and root for and want to see make it, because they're really providing a service that the community for live streaming and for content creation and podcasting has needed, to be able to have something that's easy to use and yet still good quality that you can confidently publish and distribute and feel good about what you're putting out there.
Yeah, no kidding. One of the things you talked a lot about was video, but I'm going to switch gears, because I think what people mistake when they're live streaming is audio is as important as video, if not more important than the video itself. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, I must say that I've been saying since I started that audio is the most important part of your live video. And it wasn't just because I came from radio and had limited experience with video, so my audio was going to be better than my video without trying. But it actually is the truth, because if you're doing a live stream and the video goes out and the audio stays on, people can still get all the content, essentially the value in the content, the conversation. They can hear what's going on. They can receive the information. They can get entertained. They can laugh along. But if the audio goes out, then there's really nothing. I mean, how long can you stare at a couple of talking heads before you move on to something else? So the value of the show is largely in the audio, and also people's tolerance for bad audio. If audio's breaking up, you can't really follow along. You get a headache. You can't deal with it. If video's breaking up but the audio's fine, then you listen to it as though it's a podcast or a radio show. A lot of times, that's how I consume live streaming content anyway. I'm working in another browser, and I have it on, and a lot of times I'll throw in the chat, you know, listening radio style or whatever as I work.
I've seen you do that.
You know, I'm driving right now, so doing this radio style. And that's just a way of letting people know that, you know, I'm not being rude if I don't respond to your chat. I'm just not able to do that right now because I have to work or drive or what have you. But I still want to enjoy that content and be a part of the show and gain what I can from it. And I think you can be a part of the show just participating as an audio consumer and still enjoy what makes a live show special, which is the call-ins and the guests and the audience feedback to the host. The host chooses to share that and speak to questions from the chat. All that stuff is great. And like I say, you can enjoy that just listening via audio. So yeah, audio is so important. It's just, it's how you come across. Yes, it's a visual medium, but I'm telling you, the first 4 years that I was doing this, almost every significant purchase, every significant thing that I worked on, that I upgraded, that I cared about, was focused on audio. And it's only been really within this calendar year that I've started focusing or really made the investment of time and funds to now upgrade my video. So I used for a year and a half or so, I used the built-in webcam in my laptop, and yep, then I moved to a Logitech webcam and used that up until maybe March or April of this year. So, you know, and now I'm using a Sony a6400 that I love, and I have, you know, I added some LED lights. I added a green screen, cameras on a tripod. It's raised a little bit. I got the ATEM Mini Pro. It's a hardware switcher that allows me to do multicam, which I'm not using at the moment, but I use, well, we're doing audio anyway, so why would I be using it? What I'm saying is I'm not always using it for my broadcast now, but I'm learning about how I can use it in multi-camera when that comes along. And I also find that the quality going through that switcher is better, even if I'm just doing one camera, than your standard capture card. So yeah, video is important, the look and feel, and the bar is also raising because now everybody's doing video calls and video chats and video conferencing and video meetings for work. So everybody's at least using a built-in webcam. Many of the people have added a Logitech C920, 922X, Logitech Brio. Yeah. Some people already have DSLRs at home, and they've hooked them up. They've learned about what a capture card is and done. So if you're working in the field, now's the time I felt, you know, let's upgrade this and really start to bring the visual side up to where I feel the audio and the content are. And I always like to say, you know, your content, if your content is ahead of your tech, you're doing the right thing. If your content is behind your tech, now you're going to struggle because you've set a standard and now you have to reach that standard that you spent money on, or you're going to feel like you're not succeeding. Better to get that momentum going by creating content, and then, you know, you wake up one day and you go, yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah. You know, this is getting better. I'm getting more confident. I probably deserve a better microphone, or I probably, you know, imagine how good this would be if I had more light, or if I had, that's when you know it's time, I think, to upgrade your kit and invest some. And I'm glad I did it that way, because having worked in radio, I could have gone out and bought a professional mic and so forth right from day one. But the fact that I didn't enabled me to get it when I was ready in terms of the whole live streaming thing, because being in radio or being in TV, as you can see today, as newscasters do things from home, yeah, and the quality isn't always so good, the lighting isn't always so good.
Oh, no kidding.
Horrible, right? that being in radio or being in TV certainly gives you an advantage in being experienced in presenting information in a certain way and doing interviews, but it doesn't give you any advantage with the technology or the entire aesthetic of putting together a live streaming show. And the average podcaster could probably set up better audio for your $10 million a year newscaster than that person could for themselves.
So true. What it's actually showing us, and I was talking to a colleague this week, because we all have all these newscasters at home that aren't perfect, is you don't have to be, good quality is important, but you don't have to be 1%, 100% perfect, because we're all used to now these newscasters trying to broadcast from home and they don't have perfect aesthetics. So
in many cases, it's worse than what we're doing. I mean, and it's amazing because, you know, you think with all the money they're being paid and all the money these stations have, that whatever it took to get them set up right, you would do and they would want to do. And some of it's sort of like, hey, well, we want it to feel casual. Well, it can still feel like a casual home broadcast, and I can hear it really well, right? Yeah. Nobody goes, I'm going to have a casual conversation with a friend. Should I use the phone with good reception or the phone with bad reception? Man, I'll use the one with bad reception because it'll feel more casual. I mean, that's insane. I mean, sometimes the shows that look the most casual, you think about all the money they put into the set to make it just that casual looking. But you're right. You're right. Because we're so used to communicating and watching stuff this way, it doesn't shock us to see a famous news anchor or news reporter or sports reporter doing some commentary or show from their own apartment or home or wherever. And with a green screen, sometimes you can't even really tell. But a lot of times you can tell, especially with the guests, people who are regularly on shows, but usually they send out a crew with a green screen and whatnot to record their guest segment. And now they're just, you know, Skyping in their own video. And how much the quality drops is unbelievable. And it's not because they didn't have a professional crew. They just didn't learn the basics of having to do this for themselves. And once you do it for yourself, you could go on any type of show tomorrow and look better and sound better than some of the people who are being paid, ungodly amounts of money to do this stuff.
And they're sending out their guests of all silly things, AirPods, that are Bluetooth, which have a microphone in them, and they wonder why the audio coming in is awful. And
I can't get over that. I can't. Some stations are sending Blue Yetis, which, no offense to Blue Yeti, it's a fine microphone if you know how to use it. But people who've never done any audio before, have a habit of turning the gain up too high and putting it on omnidirectional and putting it next to their keyboard. Yeah. And so, you give people the wrong tool for something and don't be surprised when they use it the wrong way. It could be the right tool if you know how to use it, but you'd think that they would just send them, a basic handheld dynamic microphone, which would be so easy for most news reporters, and it's what they use anyway on a day-to-day basis. But no, they don't want them to be in front of a microphone, so they'll send them ear pods, or they'll send them a lav mic, which,
plugs, is awful.
You know, they're plugging right into their computer. And so, of course, it's not going to sound like it does coming through, $1,000 mixers and with, an audio engineering staff working on it and everything else.
So true. So Ross, if somebody's going to get started in live streaming and they haven't done it before, do you have some starter equipment that you would suggest to somebody? I know you and I have talked about equipment, but usually we're talking more high-end stuff. Somebody started, what would you suggest?
Start out with what you have. So your phone, if you have a modern iPhone or a modern Android phone, you have a studio right in your phone. The built-in mic is better than you'd think it would be on your phone. The camera is probably excellent. You can start out live streaming from your phone. If you want to set up more of a desktop, laptop style stream, your laptop certainly will have a built-in webcam. Your desktop will have a built-in webcam. You may want to go to the external webcam because the quality is much greater and the price isn't steep under normal circumstances. Because of the shortage right now, and I'll try and be political in how I say this, there may be certain places where online that are very popular usually for buying things quickly, you may want to avoid because the different sellers can raise the prices on a regular basis and have boosted those prices by 3, 4, 10 times. So yes, you want to look at retail outlets that tend to sell always at list or below so that you're not paying more, and don't adjust the price based on what's happening at the moment in terms of availability.
Yeah,
did I say that politically?
Yeah, it's a big issue, actually.
Right. Go ahead, Robert.
And you can't get supplies. So that's the other problem.
If you have to live with that built-in webcam, live with it for now, but yep, know that, you know, ideally in a Logitech C920 or Logitech C922X, a Logitech C920 USD should be $50, $60 maybe. A Logitech C920X shouldn't be much more than $100 USD. If you're paying more for either of those, you know, you might want to spend $100 for a Logitech C920, but have that external webcam on your list of things. Then I break it down to two other items, really, that Robert, that I think are essential. And one is an external mic, and I recommend the Samson Q2U. Yep. If that isn't available, and it should be, but if it's not available, there's also the AT2005 from Audio Technica. It's AT2005. There's also the ATR2100X, which is a little more expensive. All three of those mics, I'm not going to say they're the same mic, but they're very similar in how they're constructed and how they work. And basically, they're dynamic mics that reject noise from outside the mic, and they sound remarkably good for the price that they're at. And they plug in USB, so you don't need to invest in a mixer or audio interface at the current time. But they come with XLR cables, so if you do have an opportunity to use it with a mixer or audio interface, or even plug into a professional soundboard or use it on stage through a soundboard, you can do all those things with it. It's a very versatile mic. You can use it as a handheld mic on the go. You can take it with you. So I would recommend the Samson Q2U of those three, but any of those three mics, either the Samson or those Audio Technica, ATR2100X, and the AT2005. All three of them are good mics. The Samson, to me, is a little bit warmer and richer sounding. Mics depend on your voice, so what sounds good on me might not sound as good on somebody else, and what sounds good on you might not sound good on me. But basically, most people seem to really like the Samson, and when they go from earbuds to a Samson, they can't believe how good that Q2U sounds. That's the mic that I used for the first 2.5 years or so that I was live streaming. The other thing I would say is, if you don't get a mic right now, the difference between using your built-in mic and using earbuds or headphones that have a little mic for, you know, making a phone call or whatever, the difference between the built-in mic in your webcam or in your computer and even just using headphones with a little phone call mic or earbuds or whatever is so big that use those, right? If you only have the option of using built-in or earbuds, use the earbuds. They'll sound much better. You're closer to the mic. You won't get as much echo because you have something in your ears. And if you're doing an interview, it's a necessity in order to hear somebody without there being an echo that goes out to them in the audience. So that's what I would say. The other thing I would say is, for $1,399 USD from a company called Neuer, I think it's N-E-E-W-E-R or N-E-W-E-E-R. Yeah, from newer. Yeah. There's a boom arm that's $13.99. It was $13.99 when I got it 5 years ago. It's still $13.99. It's not the one that I'm using right now because now I have a much heavier mic. But that boom arm will take the mic off your desk so that you don't have to sit hunched over. Your posture is good. You can move it out of the way when you're not doing a show. And also, you're moving it off your desk and away from your computer. It's not picking up your fan. It's not picking up vibrations if you click your mouse or type on your keyboard. So those two items, the boom arm and the microphone, I know the Samson Q2U comes with a foam windscreen, so you'll have that to cover your mic. And you're pretty much good to go. I mean, any other essentials you can think of, Robert?
I like the idea of getting a pop filter as well. I use one, but that's basically what I've done. And I've gotten a mic on a boom arm. I like that. I've gotten a pop filter. I know for high-end stuff, I've had the pleasure in past of using the Sennheiser wireless mic kit, which is really cool because you take the wireless, the dongle, and you plug it into the soundboard, and then you plug the receiver right into the laptop, and the sound you get is exactly the same sound going into the soundboard, which is incredible, but not to start, but that's basically...
Sennheiser makes amazing wireless mics, but those are... They're a little bit of a little cost involved. I mean, getting a lav mic if you have earbuds or headphones and, you know, putting it on your shirt if you're doing live streaming. There's a mic from Boya that's about $20 USD. Yeah. Pretty darn good mic. But you're going to find that the best sound for your money will come from, I think, that Samson Q2U. And if you get that or one of those Audio-Technica mics that I mentioned, you have to be comfortable with the mic being close to you. A lot of people think that they can push it off camera and then just, you know, turn up the gain and that'll be fine. But that just really doesn't sound that good. Those mics or any dynamic mic in general works best if you are, you know, within a fist length away from the microphone. So you really got to be close to it, but the sound will be really good.
Yeah, it's worth doing. The other thing I've played with in past is the Rode mics. Some people think Rode is overrated. I've had really good luck, especially on a smartphone with a Rode mic. I have a Rode shotgun that I use that I really like, but it depends on who you talk to. A lot of people think Rode is overpriced. I don't necessarily agree. It's about finding the right mic to do the right job kind of thing. So
I mean, Rode has some good mics. I haven't tried all their mics. I have a couple of products from Rode that they're in my kind of A-list because of these non-mic products, right? They make my boom arm, which is fantastic and sturdy and holds up a great mic. And they make what's called the iXLR, which is a little interface that connects to an XLR microphone and plugs into an iPhone.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to carry around an XLR cable when you're live streaming on the go. So for that, I'm forever, ever grateful. I combine that with the Rode Reporter app, and I can live stream or podcast either video, audio, and, you know, get really great quality sound with that. And I've gone through a lot of different types of little interfaces to use to get pro audio mic sound into a phone. And while there are a lot of them are good, very few of them are truly portable. And this one's really portable and wonderful. So Rode's on my good list because of those things, but I'm not as familiar with their lav mics. I've used them a couple of times, but not enough to really come away with a judgment.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Ross, thanks very much for your time today. As I said to you coming on, you're kind of one of my go-to people when I have live streaming questions, and you're always approachable. And you're always good to the community, which I appreciate. How can somebody get in touch with you? And what's your website? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. So my website's livestreamuniverse.com. If you're interested in learning more about some of the products that I talked about, you can go to livestreamuniverse.com/resources, and that will have my little write-up on them, and I have other places online as well where you can find. I don't, you know, there might be some affiliate links. I don't care if you use them, but just know that there's stuff online that I have where you can follow up and learn more about these resources. The other thing I do is I do a $5 Fridays. Every Friday, I have a Q&A, a live Q&A in a Zoom meeting that's just for the people who sign up. And you have a chance to ask me as many questions as time allows. And it's just for the people who come in. And so if you need help, what microphone should I get? Should I get this one or that one? You know, any type of question. What topic should I talk about? My business is this. Anything that can be answered in, you know, a quick answer or short answer. I call it micro consulting. It's a great opportunity. And sometimes there's a small crowd. And so it's almost like you get an hour of consulting to yourself for $5. So sign up at, you don't have to buy or anything. Just go to livestreamuniverse.com/5. No, livestreamuniverse.com/Friday. Livestreamuniverse.com/Friday. Join the email list and I'll send you a notification when we have the next one. Occasionally I send out a free trial to people who sign up for the list. So you can just come for free one day and watch and ask your questions and get free help. So it's basically $5 otherwise once a week, 1 o'clock Eastern on Friday. So would love any of your community who wants to join that. They are welcome to sign up and be a part of it.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross, for your time and have an amazing day. Talk to you.
Thanks so much, Robert. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. A very special thank you to Ross Brand for joining me today on the SDM show. I hope you enjoyed the vast ray of information that Ross shared with us on the podcast. If you want to get in touch with me, head on over to our website at stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Feel free to email me at vip@stunningdigitalmarketing.com, or you can call me 416-624-7647. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, I'm at Rob Cairns. I'm also on all other social media platforms. You can find those in the footer on our website. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. Jump on over to our website, stunningdigitalmarketing.com, scroll down the bottom, and sign up for our weekly and sometimes bi-weekly marketing newsletter to help you and your business succeed. We promise we'll never sell your information, and generally, as a rule, I don't do a lot of hard sales in that newsletter. I do a few from time to time. As always, this podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. I love you. I miss you very much. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars and make your business succeed. Bye for now.